Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ziprecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Grainger understands that you go to great lengths, and sometimes heights, to ensure the power is always flowing. Which is why you can count on Grainger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery. So you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Protecting homes and businesses from the whims of nature, you need more than just quality materials. You require Riverland Roofing. Licensed, insured, and certified, Riverland Roofing offers not only the assurance of excellence, but a tailored approach to your unique structural needs and budget. To learn more about what Riverland Roofing can do for you and the community, call them at 662-644-4297 or visit riverlandroofing.com.
Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, to another edition of Talk of Champions, powered by Riverland Roofing. I am Billy Embody. Happy Friday to all of you, and hope you guys are enjoying the Open Championship or the British Open, whichever side of that you guys stand on. Hope you're enjoying the early morning golf that we're all getting this weekend as we inch closer to the start of fall camp for Ole Miss. There are also some final decisions set to come down on the recruiting front for the Rebels. We'll talk about that on this podcast, but also we're going to be joined by two of the SEC Network's best, Peter Burns and Alyssa Lang, both sitting in differing viewpoints on Ole Miss quarterback Austin Simmons, but both high on Austin Simmons. One just happens to be extremely high on Austin Simmons. So happy to be joined by them later on in the show. But of course, we are presented by our friends at Riverland Roofing. Give them a call or text them at 662-644-4297. Riverland Roofing for all your roofing needs. They power everything we do. They just sent us to SEC Media Days. We returned Wednesday night to our homes and our families, and we're really now focused on that final rush towards fall camp, which begins in less than 2 weeks for the Rebels and most teams around the country. But I do want to talk a little bit of recruiting with you guys before we get into some team and SEC talk with Peter Burns and Alyssa Lang later on in the show. But it's been an up and down time for the Rebels on the recruiting trail. It's been good at times. It's been bad at some positions and areas, quite frankly. But when the dust settles from this summer, we will have a really good idea on just where Ole Miss stands in two different areas. And you can kind of talk about these without them stepping on the point that you can make on either side. One is Mississippi recruiting, one top 10 commitment for the Rebels right now. A really interesting spot to be in there with Jace Matthews and with Jace Matthews set to announce his decision next month. August 8th is when he is going to announce. And then on the flip side of that, you have a class in the top 20, and a lot of it out of state. A lot of it is in a situation where you're getting what you need at places like corner, safety, linebacker. You're looking at a good wide receiver class. You're looking at a real good running back haul, and you signed you have a 4-star tight end committed. You've got a quarterback that the staff likes committed in Reese Wise, and all of that has stacked you up to a top 20 class, and you're not done. And the summer still has a few more weeks of final decisions to be made, at least until the late season conversations start ahead of early signing period, but do want to address a couple of recruitments that are coming to an end here shortly, and then one decision that just came down. And let's talk about some good news potentially coming on Friday for the Rebels, as Tennessee safety Craig Tutt is set to announce his decision. The Rebels have been viewed as the leader in this one for quite some time. He's a top 10 safety in the country. He's one of the best overall prospects in the country, 117th overall in the new Rivals 300. Going to take some getting used to saying that. And just a really highly thought of prospect out of Murfreesboro, Tennessee, Oakland High School, you know, used to producing top talent over there. And for Ole Miss, this has been one that they've really prioritized between Jake Schoonover, Wes Neighbors, Brian Brown. I mean, everyone pitching in on this recruitment to try and pull him away from Tennessee, which is kind of another piece of the recruiting puzzle for the Rebels, which is that you can miss on a prospect in the state of Tennessee, like Kamari Blair, who we'll talk about in a moment because it's quite the story, but the Vols don't get him. But then you beat Tennessee, if all things hold, on Craig Tutt, a four-star safety, you know, one of the best players in the country. And somebody made a great point over at the message board on rebelgrove.com, and they said, you know, I would trade all this skill position players for just one really quality offensive line commit. And trust me, I feel that in a big way. I wrote a story on the site earlier this week and assessing that position. And we'll talk about that in a moment with regards to Kamari Blair. But it's a position that I think like hasn't really, you know, lived up to expectations recruiting. I mean, there's no doubt about it. But the secondary haul, and we've been kind of beating this drum for most of the summer, is looking like one of the nation's best. And if you can get Craig Tutt on board and get the other prospect that we're going to talk about that's set to announce on Friday, or we believe that is going to announce on Friday, and things look good for the Rebels if he does in fact announce, is NASCAR McCoy, then you're really looking at one of the better secondary hauls in the country. So it's a roundabout way of saying, you know, things can be good, things can also be bad, and at the end of the day, you have a top 20 class. But there are so many storylines with how Ole Miss is putting together this 2026 recruiting class right now. And I think with Craig Tutt, I mean, just a tremendous job by the staff. And so you can hang on to that. Now they got to get it over the finish line here in the final 24 hours or so, or 12 hours, depending on when you're listening to this. But, you know, it's really, really important for them to get Craig Tutt, very versatile defensive back. He kind of completes the secondary haul, even if for some reason something happens with NASCAR McCoy. I mean, and he's a blue chip. I mean, Tennessee wants him. Auburn wants him. So many other programs have been in the race for him. So they're closing in on that commitment, and things look to be in good shape there. So what a haul that would be with guys like Braylon Williams, Iverson McCoy, and I feel like I'm missing one there. But Jet Goldsberry, of course, athlete, four-star athlete. So a really impressive job by the staff if they can get that one across the finish line. And then they're not done potentially. You know, you head over to the state of Georgia, and you look at NASCAR McCoy, you know, really high upside type of prospect who told me a couple weeks ago, or maybe even a week ago now, that he's supposed to make a commitment on July 18th and do it at a big NASCAR event or a raceway or whatever. So if that's the case, then and he sits in a good position for Ole Miss still, which is what I get the sense that, you know, things at least stand with him, and he's been an interesting recruitment to say the least. And that's kind of one of those caveats, like Rodney Colton, a four-star linebacker from Georgia, Ole Miss, you know, he gave us quotes that he was going to commit there. And over the final week or so, Ole Miss kind of lets him know he's not going to be a part of rev share. He's not going to be a part of the money situation of his recruitment. And when he gets to campus. And meanwhile, they've got Isaiah Williams, who is one of the best players in the country, committed, and they're trying to keep him. And Then Ant Davis out of Grayson in the state of Georgia, another four-star prospect, is set to announce his decision in August, and Ole Miss sits in a good spot there. So sometimes the money can truly show you, and I kind of said this earlier in the spring and going into the summer, the money can really show you where you stand if you're a recruit with that program. If you don't end up getting money or an offer for rev share, it's a sign that they like you, but they don't love you. And or they have other players, like in Ole Miss's case, you have one of the best linebackers in the entire country committed to you. If that holds, that guy is going to get rev share right away. That's the plan for Isaiah Williams, and he's going to get a lot of it. Ole Miss loses five linebackers. Ant Davis is somebody that they've prioritized from the get-go. Rodney Colton's been kind of just there. He's taken some visits. He's took an official visit. But throughout the recruiting process, Ant Davis has been a massive priority for them. So with Ole Miss going that route, you know, the third linebacker, and I believe I posted this either in a Tidbits or on the message board earlier this spring, because I know exactly when I picked up the piece of information. It was, you know, right there during camp, and was told, look, they're going to make sure that they get two really good high school prospects. That's going to take rev share. And then the third one, it's going to be really difficult to not see it being someone that is a non-rev share type of player. You know, they just offered Trey Ellis, in-state linebacker, and he's probably one that wouldn't be a rev share guy. He's got some group of five offers. Ole Miss is by far his biggest offer, and that would be a good third linebacker. Rodney Colton can get money elsewhere, so why wouldn't he get that rev share money elsewhere? So something to kind of keep an eye on when you talk about these recruits. But NASCAR McCoy, if he does announce his decision this week, like he has said in the past, I would expect it to be Ole Miss at this point. So that would complete what would be an incredible defensive backhaul for Ole Miss. So that's kind of the upcoming commitments right now. We'll talk more. We'll kind of reset things next week again as we look ahead to the August commitments that are coming down the pipeline. But I do want to kind of go back to Kamari Blair here, because I mentioned him earlier, and he did end up committing to South Carolina, which is kind of wild as a whole, because, you know, you look at Ole Miss and this recruitment, and from what I kind of gathered, Ole Miss had a very competitive offer right there up at the top with the other three, or with the other two in this case. And it was above Tennessee's. And so earlier this week, when I was kind of digging around in this recruitment, I talked to a couple sources, and most felt it was either Ole Miss versus Tennessee or Ole Miss versus South Carolina. And because Kamari Blair kept things so close to the vest in this one, like I talked about Rodney Colton telling us he was going to go to Ole Miss a week before his commitment date, Kamari Blair didn't let it out until a couple hours before to people. And you fast forward, and so Ole Miss is kind of the constant out of those recruiting, like out of those sources and non-Ole Miss sources, I'll add. And so you're sitting there feeling pretty good if you're trying to read the tea leaves alone, because that's kind of, you know, where I was at with this one. And on top of that, I felt like Kamari Blair made an interesting point to me when I spoke with him. He said, I see why Ole Miss recruits the way they do, which is that they prioritize their players on the roster. Their coaches just generally don't spend all day talking and recruiting high school players. And right or wrong, we could debate that all day, right? Ole Miss has been able to retain pretty much all of its roster. You can see they've got a good culture, all those things. So multiple different ways to skin a cat when it comes to recruiting, because at the same time, Ole Miss is poised, at least it seems like, to land Craig Tutt, a very, very difficult recruiting battle. So if that happens, it's kind of like, well, all right, is it the right way to do it, or is it the wrong way? But when you look at Kamari Blair, he ends up starting to tell people it's going to be Tennessee, that it was a dream school for him, that he wasn't going to be able to pass that up because, you know, they just were able to overcome recruiting him late. And then from what I gathered, South Carolina just said, you are a huge priority for us. You're a huge priority. We're going to show you. And they kept upping their rev share late in the process. And sometimes these quiet recruitments end up being the craziest. You know, I remember Eric Gilbert, who didn't tell anyone, even his mom, who where he was going, and he ends up shocking everyone and going to LSU. I think we know kind of how Eric Gilbert ended up at LSU. Somebody went rogue and went and got him out there in the Peach State and beat out Alabama, beat out Georgia. Now, Eric Gilbert didn't pan out, but Kamari Blair, this is all above board. This is rev share. This is, you know, for the most part, all the things that are legal now in college football recruiting. And so, man, sometimes it's nice to see these kids get their moment and surprise some people. I don't think anybody had an On3 or Rivals RPM pick in. And South Carolina, you know, was able to kind of make a late push and get them. So it's really interesting to see these kids go through this process and keep their decision so close to the vest. And that's what's kind of made this cycle exciting to cover and exciting to follow. So it all gets crazy, but there's nothing crazier than going to SEC Media Days, I feel like, and just going through all the drama and all the different talking points that'll be brought up wherever they are. And so we got a good look at that just right off the bat. If you're watching SEC this morning, on Monday morning, watching SEC this morning with Peter Burns and Alyssa Lang and Chris Doering, they had a heated debate about Austin Simmons, Lenore Sellers, Garrett Nussmeier, Arch Manning, DJ Lagway, all those guys. And so we had Peter and Alyssa stop by, and they came separately, but were able to share more about just how they feel about the quarterbacks that they talked about, as well as the SEC as a whole. So I really hope you guys enjoy us wrapping up this edition of Talk of Champions with our interviews with Peter Burns and Alyssa Lang. So hope you guys enjoy them and have a great weekend. And we'll catch you guys next week on another edition of Talk of Champions. We'll catch you over at rebelgrove.com. Sign up for just $1 for your first week. And we appreciate all you guys who are listening and joining in on the conversation over there. Have a great weekend, everyone. We'll catch you next time on Talk of Champions.
If you work as a manufacturing facilities engineer, installing a new piece of equipment can be as complex as the machinery itself. From prep work to alignment and testing, it's your team's job to put it all together. That's why it's good to have Grainger on your side. With industrial-grade products and next-day delivery, Grainger helps ensure you have everything you need close at hand through every step of the installation. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
First, there was Tuesday. Then, there was Taco Tuesday. Now at Wendy's, there's Takis Tuesday. Get a new Takis Fuego meal, a.k.a. Takis Fuego chicken sandwich, Fuego fries inspired by Takis, a bag of Takis Fuego chips, a small drink, and also a small Frosty classic. Yes, you can get that any day, but on Takis Tuesday, the Frosty is free. Make every Tuesday a Takis Tuesday. Gotta be Wendy's.
Limited time only. Participating U.S. Wendy's includes 1 ounce Takis Fuego chips while supplies last. Takis and Fuego trademarks are used under license.
Welcome back to Talk of Champions. Really excited for this one as a good friend of the show, Peter Burns. You know, we've hung out in Baton Rouge quite a few times, and look,
I don't remember those days actually. Really.
Yeah, well, I wonder why.
Actually, it's a lot like my time in Oxford. I'm very vaguely remember those days.
Yeah. but you, I feel like are turning into Mr. SEC. You just really kind of know the ins and outs of all these towns, but you also know the programs as well. And I woke up Monday morning getting ready to come over here, and you were on there talking about Austin Simmons when everybody else is talking about every other quarterback, it seems like.
I think this is the thing, is a lot of people kind of roll their eyes when we've done this, you know, for a decade now, where it's like, how much do you really learn at Media Days, right? These guys, especially now, they're so well-trained. They know what to say, what not to say. They don't – basically the end goal for every single one of these guys is get through Media Days and don't be a trending topic, right? So I've looked at it over the last couple of years, is how do I find out information about these teams that I'm not going to get through a normal Q&A situation? And what I found out is a lot of times it's the way that they handle themselves in the interview. And a lot of times I see these athletes, and what I do is I get their schedule and I'll follow them kind of room to room and kind of eavesdrop into these conversations. And I'm more impressed about, or I'm more tuned into how they act. Are they on their phone 24/7? Are they, you know, taking selfies of each other? Are they bored without, you know, out of their mind, or are they locked in? And I mean, from the moment that Austin Simmons stepped foot here in Atlanta, I'm like, I get it now. Right? Like I understand it. Why this guy looks like Tua, probably plays like Tua, but he's bigger, faster, maybe even stronger than Tua. And then you start thinking about, well, you don't want to put that type of pressure on a young kid, especially, 18 years old and he's getting his damn doctorate or whatever he is right now. And you realize it doesn't matter. You can put the world on him, on his shoulders. I asked him the question. I go, were you surprised when you went in, when Jackson got injured, that it was going to be six straight passes or whatever it was? He goes, no. He goes, Lane pulled me aside to the huddle. He goes, we're running the playbook. And he's like, okay. And the like, it was like some serial killer stuff. Where it's like, no, this is what we do. Like, why, you're the idiot who thinks we're just going to run the ball. Because if that was the case, that would be Lane saying, I don't have the same confidence that you can do this.
That's right.
In fact, I think that's a way of Lane basically saying, listen, I'll never – Jackson Dart's my boy, right? That's my yoga buddy, all of this stuff, right? That's my road dog. But this kid may be even better. And now I want to see what this kid can do against a Georgia defense. And I mean, sky's the limit.
See, that's one thing that stuck out to me, too, is because, like, there's been Arch mania today, and for good reason, the last name and all this kind of stuff. But they're quite literally Austin and Arch in the same kind of, like, developmental phase or stage of their
I'm glad you brought that up, because a lot of people are going, well, you know, Arch Manning, he's redshirt, he's been there forever. And then they're like, well, Austin Simmons, now he's 19 years old, and he's going to get the case. He's been in this program. He's seen this. He's been in practice every single damn day, right? Like, there's recruits that came to Oxford not because of Jackson Dart, because they're like, this is the future. Like, I want to be a part of this. I've come to the SIP because of this dude. I believe in him. So I think it's a relevant point right now. And that's why I said on the show on Monday that I love Lenore Sellers. I think he's going to be fantastic. DJ Lagway, I don't know if he's 100% healthy, but if he is, he's a freak.
Tortured Ole Miss last year.
No, he was great. But if you tell me in Lane Kiffin's offense, I'm taking Austin Simmons. I like that. And especially if you can get Austin, not only for this year, but if you could re-rack and get a really good defense again the following year, I mean, why not? You're talking about a college football playoff team.
You're tuned in to the SEC. What's your take on Lane Kiffin and what he's built? So much on-field success in a way that is also very intriguing and drives discussion around it as all the time, it seems like.
It's so funny you say that, Billy, because earlier today I was thinking about it when I saw the other interview he did with Feinbaum, where he was just
it was crazy.
I
mean,
you can't
True Detective Ford,
you can't fool that chemistry, man. That's
it's so good. Awkward, it's over the top. And I started thinking about it, about how I've done a 180 on Kiffin completely. I thought Lane at Alabama when he was OC, I thought he was a petulant child. I really thought he was. And I don't know if Lane would disagree in that. And the only reason why I say that is because Lane reminded me a lot of myself. Whereas a guy that was going to stir up a bunch of crap, talk shit on Twitter. Pardon me. I don't know if I can.
Yeah, you're fine.
Right. Yeah. And yet kind of just, you know, was a little bit kind of standoffish in some stuff. Right. Always stirring stuff up and wanted the attention. And then now I see Lane and what he's built there in Oxford, and that the family's there, and that, but that now he feels a lot more comfortable in his own skin.
Yeah.
And I think that's, I mean, we all grow up a little bit, and I think about it, I'm like, I really like where Lane has built this program right now, because we're talking about it with some friends a couple of days ago. In Ole Miss history, like Matt Luke or even days prior to that, had you lost that slew of talent,
you'd be
looking at Ole Miss going, well, they're going to be a, I don't know, 4-8 team, 6-6. They might scare a couple of people. I think now you look at Lane, you have, you know, Pete, you know, all those guys, like, they seem to have something special. They like it. They put down roots. And now you look like the floor is so much higher for this team in Oxford than it maybe has ever been. And I think that's a credit to what Lane has built. And I really admire the way that I think he's kind of changed his way of handling it, and I think it's perfect for college football.
When Ole Miss hired Lane, if you'd have told everybody, all right, he's going to be here at least 6 years, everyone would have said no chance in hell. And I think that by itself is a good testament to that. And
I think Lane would have said that.
Lane would have said the same thing. Yeah.
I know Jimmy Sexton, his agent, probably said
absolutely.
That. That's how he gets some smart raises.
But you're right. The roots he's laid down and kind of fashioned his own image. Like, this is what you see with Kirby at Georgia. This is what you like. But he's done it with Ole Miss, and it's really cool to see him kind of take it all into his own.
I'm glad you brought that up, because I think in the past, in that world, could you do that in a certain way, you know, if you didn't have the same facilities? Before NIL, like, if you didn't have the same facility, Alabama was always going to have the best facilities.
That's why Tommy Tuberville left Ole Miss.
Facilities. Yeah. Right. And then now that at least there's somewhat of a salary cap, it's always going – I mean, there's always going to be ways to pay the player, right? The salary cap used to be zero. Yeah. There's a couple players who used to pay.
Yeah, exactly. Zeros.
The building fund at the church got dropped off.
Right? Yeah.
But I think now you can look at it and go, can I be a college football playoff team in Oxford? Yeah. I think you asked that question 6-7 years ago. You think, no, you'll have your Eli Manning year. And you'll, hey, the stars just aligned at the division and whatnot. But then now I'm like, why can't you? Yeah. Like, can you go 10-2? Yeah, absolutely. And can you get hot at the right time with the right players? Absolutely. So I think that's part of the level of college football that people don't talk about enough is that now, especially this year, I think this is wide open of a year we've ever had in college football. I think there's 30 teams legitimately can say, if things go right, we could be one of the top 12. And that's, hell, that's a lot better in a spot than we were 10 years ago in this world.
Well, we love that you're stirring it up a little bit on your Austin Simmons takes, and we appreciate you joining us. We know you got to go.
Absolutely. Appreciate the time.
Yeah. Thanks so much for joining us. Thanks, stopping by, Peter. Good to see you.
Appreciate you.
Welcome back to Talk of Champions live in Atlanta for SEC Media Days. Really excited to be joined by SEC Network's Alyssa Lang.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. Thanks for stopping by.
Yeah.
And we talked with Peter Burns, of course, before.
Yes.
And so I love watching you guys in the morning, and obviously the banter around the quarterback position has taken center stage at SEC Media Days, but not around Garrett Nussmeier. Mm-hmm. Lenore Sellers involved here.
Yep.
Austin Simmons. Let's get your rerun your take on everything with the quarterback position in the SEC.
So I believe that on Monday, Peter said, and you know, we were on with Chris Doering as well, and CD is a huge DJ Lagway fan, as am I.
Yep.
Also a big Lenore Sellers fan. I think PB declared that Austin Simmons would have a better season than both of those guys.
Yep.
And I was shocked that he said that, just because, you know, we don't know as much about Austin Simmons as we do DJ Lagway and Lenore Sellers. I say that I'm a huge Austin Simmons fan. I had the opportunity over the summer on our SiriusXM show to talk with him for about 15, 20 minutes. And his story is pretty incredible. I mean, Ole Miss fans know he's this young prodigy that's already graduated and came to Oxford when he was 15 years old. His dad had to teach him how to drive when he got to college. But talking to him, you can tell he's just such an intelligent young man. The willingness to sit behind and study somebody like a Jackson Dart, build the relationship with Lane Kiffin. I am very excited to see what him, Kiffin, and Charlie Weiss Jr. will have in store for us this season. I jokingly said to Peter, well, who's he going to throw to? Because Ole Miss lost so much, obviously.
Yep.
But I'm at this point with Lane Kiffin where it's sort of like we say with Kirby Smart and the way he recruits, he doesn't rebuild, he reloads. Well, Coach Kiffin does that out of the transfer portal every single year, right? So one of my favorite parts about Media Days is we talk so much about guys who are returning and guys we know a lot about, but inevitably there will be someone in mid-October who we didn't talk about at all this week who will be center stage for their team. And Ole Miss has experienced that for years now with players that Coach Kiffin has pulled out of the portal. I expect that again this year.
I did tell Peter, I think Lenore Sellers has a chance to win the Heisman Trophy. He's one, like, legitimately just a really exciting player to watch, and just seems like that alpha quarterback mentality that SEC fans are going to learn more about because the league at the quarterback position is really wide open and so much change.
Yeah, and I look at someone like a Lenore Sellers. He's got the off-the-bus look that you want out of an SEC quarterback and a future NFL quarterback, right? All the measurables are there. What we saw from his development from week one to the end of the season last year, it was very promising for South Carolina fans. Turnovers are something that need to be limited, right? We got to take care of the football a little bit more in Columbia for Lenoris. But having that year of SEC experience, knowing the familiarity of the pieces around him will be better. I have some concerns about the run game next to him as well and the status of South Carolina's running back room with the NCAA not coming down with a ruling yet on Rasul Faison. But all that said, Lenoris individually, I do think has the pieces of a Heisman Trophy winning quarterback, which would be unbelievable in Columbia, South Carolina. So many people don't realize South Carolina had not had a quarterback drafted in a 7-round draft until Spencer Rattler. There was not a South Carolina quarterback drafted in the first 7 round, only free agent pickups after the draft was over until Spencer Rattler. this could be the greatest quarterback that ever comes through the University of South Carolina.
Yeah. As a Tampa guy, I was hoping it would be Stephen Garcia.
I know. Right? Yeah, no, that was, Garcia that, was awesome.
He's great. He's great. But, the thing with the SEC this year, I think, is what, 5, 6, 7 teams could end up in it. I know it's expanded or whatever, but it's just a league that's wide open.
It feels very wide open. And I keep getting asked, you know, who has the best chance at winning a national championship or even going to the SEC championship? And I really feel like I could make a case for 4 or 5 different teams.
Yeah.
Someone asked me a few minutes ago, you know, who my dark horse is. I think Texas A&M right now, I'm comfortable saying, is my dark horse. But is A&M a team that you label a dark horse? I guess.
Because they just haven't done it as talented as they've been.
But last year they were knocking on the door of the SEC championship game. So I almost feel like they can't be considered a dark horse in that way, right? Maybe, Vandy. I mean, when you have Diego Pavia on your team,
talk about that dude.
This guy is the limit, right?
Yeah.
So it is such an exciting year in that way. But it's also the way of college football too, right? Because why do we have so many questions? Not just the quarterback position, so many different faces in key places on all of these teams because of the nature of the transfer portal and where we are right now. It all looks great on paper, but we won't know until the cleats hit the dirt in September what everybody really has.
Do you have a favorite that you're going with yet? I don't know if that you guys have revealed those.
I do. I like Texas.
Yeah,
it's
a safe bet.
I still have a hard time, though, giving Texas the nod over Georgia. I do. I mean, for Georgia to beat Texas in Austin last year and then again in the SEC championship game makes it hard for me to say, oh, like, Texas is the runaway favorite. But if Arch is going to be this generational quarterback that we expect him to be, I look at the returners. I look at the running back room with C.J. Baxter coming back for Texas after being injured last year. Quintravian Wisner does not get enough credit for what he did a season ago. So I love the pieces that come back for Texas. I think Sark is in the conversation as one of the best coaches in the country right now. Texas is sexy. Georgia is like the, you know, we've been here. We're the consistent ones. So I could coin flip between the two of them.
What do you expect from Ole Miss this year? I mean, obviously some intrigue, of course, as always, with Coach Kiffin on social media.
Right.
But on the field, 3 10-win seasons the last 4 years. Very consistent.
Yeah, and an 11-win season, which I remember being there when they got that 11th win or when they were about to get that 11th win. And Jackson Dart and the guys around him were saying, like, this is part of why we came here, to be part of a class that makes history at Ole Miss. And I really did go back in the record book and say, Ole Miss has never had an 11-win season. Like, I couldn't believe it. And the fact that Lane has done that, and I say a short time, I mean, it's been several
years
now, but you look back at the majority of that time and it's only gotten better and better and better. And I know last year was a disappointment. Last year was the national championship or bust year. I don't think, though, that that's cause for panic. I like I said earlier, I'm really excited about Austin Simmons, the pieces that they've put around him. And Ole Miss has become a place that you can go not just to be trained and developed by a staff offensively, but I look at all the guys on that defense last year who just got drafted to the NFL. Who would have thought that Ole Miss and Lane Kiffin would have had one of the best scoring defenses in the country? And they did last year. So I start to look at Ole Miss now as they're not a dark horse. They're a perennial team that we're talking about as far as being in that conversation. Some tough road games this year.
Yeah.
Obviously, Georgia's licking their chops for Ole Miss to come to Athens, but my expectations are high for them.
Yeah, well, Ole Miss, Lane Kiffin has a good thing going. You got a great thing going, too, so congratulations
on
everything, and thanks for stopping by.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Listen, Lane.
Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people,
get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Hey, it's Austin James. Yes, I'm living with diabetes, but it doesn't have to define me. Thanks to the FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor, I get real-time glucose readings throughout the day. The FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor is small and easy to wear, giving me the freedom to focus on my life as a parent and a musician. Now this is progress. You can get a free sensor at FreestyleLibre.us.
Offer available for people who qualify. Visit MyFreestyle.us to see all terms and conditions. Certain exclusions apply. Data on file, Abbott Diabetes Care, for prescription only. Safety info found at FreestyleLibre.us.